This is W, or sorry, this is Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey coming into KFBI on 2 watts, probably at about 10 miles. Sorry, my copy's no good.
KZKGO, monitoring at the kitchen table.
Wrong VFO, guys. ADHL. Don't worry about it. We defunded the computer police.
You know, it's funny. I was just reading something about that, about the FCC having their budget cut, and it was enforcement that they wanted to cut the budget from. So, yeah. Na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, well, they got the, they got the volunteer monitors now. So they're going to have a bunch of amateur Karens taking care of it for them.
You know, there are amateur radio operators who've been training their entire life for that, and they've been doing it without any authority. So give them some authority and watch them go nuts. I guess I'm of two minds with that, because you know they're going to be a lot more effective. And actually, what it is, I just got a new radio, a Quansheng K6, and I'm so used to my old HP that had two push-to-talk, that I just instinctively hit the top or bottom push-to-talk, but this one only has a single push-to-talk, so I have to remember to look to see how my radio is set up.
Right. No, I just wanted to have an opportunity to throw that in there. But sounding good. But I'm going to get back to scrimmaging around here looking for a... No, not scrimmaging. Scavenging around here for breakfast. It's either that or go get myself a skillet from the corner. It's a tough decision.
Sounds good. Have a good morning, Joe. I'll switch over to the other side. 88, yeah.
All right, man. Catch you later. W8FU.
and for the record, that's not me making all that noise. I identify when I make noise. 88 jail.
K-8-R-U-H.
What's up, Anthony?
Not much. Just making my way back into town after going up north yesterday. What's up with you?
Oh, I just finished breakfast at 12:30. Got to clean up and... Not much. Maybe watch a football game. One, maybe watch the Packers and the Eagles. Other than that, nothing much going on. Putz around a little bit with the mesh stuff, maybe. Nothing serious. Kick the dog.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm almost home, but I've been watching my mobile mesh device here, and it's been, I changed a bunch of settings. Dave helped me out on Friday at lunch, and now I have the right channels, and MQTT is set up on the right channels and all that jazz, and I've been seeing all kinds of stuff now, and it's interesting watching the map. I have GPS on this node. It's tracking me and all the stuff. So opened up my eyes to some more stuff on this mesh, these mesh devices. So hopefully we keep getting them going. They're pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, it's a novelty. It's something to tinker with. You learn it. You learn the system. You learn, and you know, maybe a year from now you say, hey, you know what? I bet you we could use that for that. You know, so is there a direct bonus right now?
Yeah.
You know, maybe not. But we got, there's, you know, it's got, it needs a lot of growth. It needs a lot of potential.
a lot of potential is there. Needs a lot of that realized, I guess, is what I was trying to say. And I'm having fun with it. That's all that really counts, right? I mean, 90% of the time I do this stuff, it's because I enjoy it, right? I mean, you know, it's not some big grandiose, oh, you know, if we build this, then, or we do this, we put in this, then, you know, then this will happen or that will happen. That's not even relevant. It's like we're having a hell of a time playing with it.
Yeah, that's 95% of the value in this stuff is having fun, getting it going, and you know, one of the cool things that I've watched happen is everybody seems to be on the same page. You know, they're so inexpensive that there's, you know, no real barrier to entry. So everybody's like, yeah, I'll pick up a $30 node and play with you guys. So that's been fun to watch. Everybody got into it real quick because it's so cheap.
Yep. Well, we'll see where it goes. There's a couple of different angles on it. I know Fred's working on a different angle that's interesting to me. It's more about, you know, remotely deployed nodes and managing them and stuff like that. So if I'm going to put anything up that's going to be, you know, wide area, I've seriously got to consider the management aspects. And that's one thing they don't do really well. They want you to jack in the USB port to do any kind of updates or this, that, or the other. So been working on that as another aspect of it. So, all right, anyhow, I'm going to go get rid of these dirty dishes, see what the dog's barking about. I left the gate open, so I got to put my boots on, go out there and close the gate so I can let him out. And I'll be back. I'll be waiting for you.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you soon. I'm only in the car for like another 10, 15. But at some point soon, I want to hear your opinion on that. Was it the Clear Zero node? Thinking about picking up another node, and after talking to Dakota, he said that one is something that he enjoys or thinks he would enjoy, and you have one. So I'd love to hear some feedback. But I will catch up with you later. This is KE8RUH.
Oh, doggy can wait. Dishes can certainly wait. Yeah, what can I tell you? I love the thing. It's pricey, right? But the guy has done a really, really nice job. You can't really get a hat like that to start. So that form factor is only... Now, we think maybe there's one that's popped up. We can't buy it, but it's popped up. So there may be a hat with this form factor coming soon. But for right now, the only zero form factor hat is from this guy. And he won't sell the hat, right? So if you need the RF deck and the interface, you got to go through him. But he won't sell those alone. You got to buy his device, okay? And it comes ready to go in the form factor, you know, the Clear Zero. What you get with that is you get his interface. And that's really, you know, that's really the shizzle. I mean, this is my go-to now. I've been building nodes from before anybody. I mean, I can honestly say that. When I was building nodes, small pocket nodes, no one else was doing it, period, and full stop. There was one guy that you could go to that had a little yellow plastic tackle box that put a radio and a bunch of other junk in this little plastic tackle box, and that was the closest thing. So I've been doing this since, you know, before, you know, that, and I've submitted, you know. I just like, okay, I'm going to get this, and I'm happy I did. I run this thing 90% of the time. I've got my own custom built nodes which still run all over. They're still running all over the place perfectly, and I've got other various. I've got some Sherry's because I had to get that T-shirt, and so I've got two of those. Mystery, haven't fired either one up in ages. I recently got that hotspot radio device because I wanted to see what that guy was all about. Not impressed. I got that, you know, Larry gave me a really good deal on one to try that. And honestly, I go to this Clear Zero all the time. Unless I want full duplex, in which case I haven't found anything better than my personal built one. This thing is the shizzle, I don't regret paying a couple of bucks for it, just the interface alone. So I don't know if that's a glowing review, but that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, like you said, you have all the experience with these things, so, I'm looking for something that is what that seems to be, is kind of like a plug-and-play sort of deal. It has the app that you can change things, and I would like to have something that's mobile, so I can have one in my car. And I would like it to be easy at the same time, right? Where changing the IP address from the house to my phone and just back and forth, making it easy so that when I'm out of range, out of town, whatever it may be, it's just easy. I can still talk into you guys and monitor whatever I want to monitor. So it is, maybe in a few weeks, a month, I'll buy it. I mean, all the reviews are great, so it's probably my next purchase of radio thing that will happen. But probably wait till that, maybe the end of February. I got a big trip coming up here that I should probably not be spending any money on silly stuff like that. Should be saving my money for the trip, but soon I'll definitely probably get one. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so a couple of the things that make his stand out is not only the software, but he's got analog bridge, i.e. DD switch. He's got that configured on there, and then he's got it very simply controlled from your phone. So I can grab this thing, and I know I'm not going to have any trouble getting it up and running. And you don't know how many times I've grabbed a node, because I'm out the door for somewhere, and for some reason, either I didn't have the Wi-Fi set up, or I had to set up on something different, or just there any number of things, and I just couldn't deal with it, and I just ended up throwing it aside and saying, I'll just do this or I'll just do that, and it's probably my own fault for not preparing, but that's me. I should do this with that one. I should do that. I should get this, Wi-Fi password changed or get this device hooked up for if I ever need to run this, and I don't do it, So then I'll say, I'm running out to Lansing, and I want to grab a node, and I'll grab one of my Series, and it's like, damn it, I never connected it with my phone, but now what do I do? Because I'm out the door, and I just find that this one here is just, it's real handy. If I have any, well, I'll get the criticisms in a second, but the other thing, too, is that I was able to, you could do this with a Siri, but you lose, in all cases, you lose their case. But I dropped the bottom of the Clear Zero's case. You might have saw pictures of that in Telegram, and I added Pi Sugar. It's got a LiPo battery. It's not designed to really be it's a UPS basically. So I can plug in and keep that charged up. I can plug and unplug that all I want and move the thing around, and the node never hiccups. And and so I can unplug it and I can drive to work, and when I get to work I can plug it in. I can unplug it and go into I could turn my car off, go into a restaurant, and as long as I'm not over a couple hours, 3 hours, it doesn't last all day, but it's designed to be more like a UPS, and so like if I turn my car off and I lose my charging, the thing will run for 2 or 3 hours, and then I get back in the car, start it up, and it goes back to charging, right? And or I move it into the house or something like that. So that's been game changer as well. The analog bridge part is really convenient, but again, you can do exactly one mode. You have to like reboot the thing into that particular mode, and then you have analog, all star, and then whatever you want in the particular mode you set it up for. And then if you want a different mode, you have to actually go to the settings, tell it I want to be YSF today, and reboot it, and now when you go into the digital selection, you can pick any YSF talk group. So that's pretty handy, because normally I'm not a digital guy, right? And so, but if somebody, if I just happen to need digital, I could do it. I need a, you know, a $10 Bofang, you know, that I'm using as a wireless mic for this thing, and I can do it. So if I had any criticisms, it'd be two of them. And,
FBI hub timeout.
If I had any criticism, it'd be one. I the Pi Zero, and this isn't on the Clear Zero guy at all. The Pi Zero UPS, Pi Sugar UPS that I put on the bottom, I can't find a reasonable case for it. So I'm either going to have one designed. But right now, if you've seen the pictures, I've got it. It's a little exposed on the bottom. It doesn't bother me that much, but it'd be nice if I could have the whole thing retain that form factor, but the case, you know, include the Pi Zero or the Pi Sugar. That's not really a criticism of Clear Zero at all. That's, you know, that's just I want to do that, and it wasn't designed to do that. The only criticism I'd have directly on the No Ventures guy is he sets it up with your, you tell him what IP address you want it to have, and when you get it, it's ready to go on that IP address. If not, the only way to really get an IP address into it is what they call Wi-Fi by light, and what you do is you have an app on your phone, and you tell it what the credentials are, and then you hold it over a photo sensor in the thing, and it transfers through light flashes. It transfers the credentials for the Wi-Fi. It doesn't work at all with my phone, and I think it didn't work at all with, was it Dakota's, or somebody else's didn't work either. Then we come to find out it's real finicky with Android phones. It works real good with iPhones, but even the guys with iPhones found it took a couple of times to get it in. Guys with Samsungs can't get it in at all, so that's the only way you can add, you can put, if you don't have a connection where you can just do it by hand, you got to have that first connection. Then you can do whatever you want, but you got to do it in advance. But if you got to do it on the fly, you got to do it that Wi-Fi by light thing, which is hit or miss. If it works for you and your phone, then you're golden. I would have liked for them to have the same thing like the open spot. Hold on. I'd like for him to have the same kind of a thing like the OpenSpot and other products where he has a little web, he has a little Wi-Fi server or a Wi-Fi connection that you can connect to it, and then you can set it up and then drop out. That's the way to go. I don't know why he didn't do that. It seems like it would be a small, you know, a small leap to do that, but he chose to use that Wi-Fi by light thing. So it's a small criticism. You just have to make sure you take that into account, you know, make sure your phone's going to work with it. If it doesn't, make sure you got some sort of your, at least have your phone's Wi-Fi connected up to it when you leave, so you could just do it that way.
That's interesting. So you're saying you give him a IP address, and then you have access to it, but from there, then you can still, you'd be out, as long as you access it, then you have control of it from your phone, and you can change IP addresses from the app. Is that what I'm understanding? It's just that initial setup that people have found to be an issue?
No, I might have misspoke. When you're buying it from the guy, he asked you for your Wi-Fi credentials. You know, and I would presume you'd make it, you could give it anything you want, but you got to give him Wi-Fi credentials for your network. Then he puts in the username and password, so when you get it, it fires right up on your network, whichever one you gave him. Then you can go into the app and you can do anything you want. You can add your, you can do it, you know, let's say you tell him I want to put my phone Wi-Fi or my home Wi-Fi on this thing. And when I get it at home, I plug it in, boom, it goes right online. You connect up to it with your computer or whatever with the phone app. The phone and the beautiful thing is his app, you don't have to be on the same network to control the thing. You know, you may or may not be. So you can go to the phone app and just find your node, and then you could go ahead and set it up for your phone or whatever else you want. But you do have to give him that initial set of credentials for an existing Wi-Fi network of yours, and then when you get it, it'll be connected up to that. Otherwise, he'll send it to you with nothing in it, and then you've got to use that Wi-Fi by light method. And the problem with that is the reason you have to is because there are no Ethernet ports on the Pi Zeros. So you have to get the information into the thing. You can't just, like you can with a Pi 3 device, just jack it in and it'll find an IP address and you can go from there. So you got to get it in, and he uses this Wi-Fi by light, which is kind of hit and miss. So hopefully that clears it up. I'm not sure.
Yes, that absolutely cleared up everything that you were saying. Thank you.
Right. So in a perfect world, he'd have like a little, you know, like a little Wi-Fi router built in, you know, kind of like, you know, other devices where when you initially connect up to them, you initially connect up to them via Wi-Fi, or even do something Bluetooth maybe, but you connect up to them to control it, and then you can set it up for whatever Wi-Fi you want. So it seems like he could do that. He could either do some sort of Bluetooth, you know, connection that allows you to get it initially set up on a network, or have a Wi-Fi router in it that you can connect to, set it up, and then drop out. And it'll, you know, that would make it perfect, with the exception of my UPS requirement, which is not on him at all. But again, having said that, you know, other than that. And if you want full duplex, you know, hey, it ain't full duplex, right? You know, it's a simplex, you know, but for a traveling node, that's fine, right? And this is the one I take everywhere I go anymore. I don't crack any of my other ones out. I, you know, as somebody who's had as much experience with all the different variations and iterations of All-Star nodes over the last, you know, 5-6 years, I'll grab this stupid little thing whenever I go somewhere.
That's cool, and I do totally understand that UPS function, but would a little like cell phone battery bank do the same thing, and then you could still keep the bottom case on?
Well, you're talking about the Holy Grail, and if you find a battery that will charge and still, without a glitch, If you find a battery pack that will run a Pi-based device, and then you can plug it in, and it doesn't either just for a split second drop, causing your node to drop abruptly, and then of course, you know, it's a hard start and everything's all jacked up. Or I found a couple that will put out output continuously while you plug and unplug them from the charger, but the output when they're charging is pretty low. It's down in the fours, and Pi's are throwing all sorts of errors. Now the Pi Zero is a more forgiving device in that regard, but that's the Holy Grail we're looking for. We're looking for a battery that can supply 5 volts or better, plugged in or unplugged, and you can plug and unplug it without interruption. Holy Grail, you find one, let us know, man.
Okay, that totally makes sense. But all right, Sean, I just pulled up at the house, and now I need to unpack the car, probably as badly as you need to do all your chores. So I will be clear on your final. I appreciate the conversation about the node, and we'll definitely look into it further and probably purchase one. This is K8RUH, and I'll be clear on your final.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, so far I can find no serious knock on the thing. The guy's got a pretty good package, and I mean, would I like to build my own and do it for less? You know, sure. But you know, how much less, really? And then, you know, you're never going to get that slick software package of his. You know, which he does a really nice job on. All right, catch you later, Anthony. W8FU, off to the dishes. Sean, quick question. ADHJL. Yo-yo. My car. Because I'm in my car and just Google it. The RF side, will it work with an analog or does it require a digital process? You're kind of fluttering in and out, so I'm not 100% sure what you're asking, but I think what you're asking me is this device we're talking about is an analog or digital. It's an analog device. It's an All-Star node. But the guy has very cleverly implemented DD switch analog bridge in it, and he's written a really nice piece of software so you can manage it all from your phone. So, you know, if I'm on this thing and I want to, you know, I could be using it to talk here on the 2.6, you know, via All-Star. And then let's say somebody says, hey, you know, can you go to, you know, Fusion, you know, Zombie Alert Network. I don't need a digital radio at all. I can go to this little device and I can put it in Fusion mode and I can go to the Zombie Network. And now I talk on my $8 analog Bofang and I'm on UEC System Fusion on the Zombie Alert Network. So it's an analog device, RF-wise, in and out, but he's got the analog bridge kind of really perfected with a good interface in the device. You can do that with any, you know, All-Star node, but it's a little kludgy. But he's done a real nice job bringing it to the masses, I guess.
Well, that's exactly what I was asking. I'm driving north on north of 26 Mile and Mound, so I'm in that spot that doesn't get real good service. So I'll keep it brief. That was my exact question. So many of the nodes that I've seen have been MMVDM or whatever it is, DVM nodes, and they require digital radio. So I've got two kids that just got technician licenses, and the idea of buying a whole bunch of digital radios is not appealing. But setting up an analog hotspot is. So that's exactly what I needed. I will now let you get back to your digits. Thank you very much for the information. ADHJL.
Well, congratulations on the second. I knew the first got their license, but now you got two, so congratulations. Well, congratulations to both, you know, and that's very cool. And I know you like to tinker and build and things like that. You can do everything that this node does yourself. You can build one by hand, like you can build one of the ones that I do with the $8 Bofang RF deck and a Pi you got laying around and a $8 fob. You can do that up if you want to, like, go from scratch, and you can put all the software to do this on that All-Star node, but it's tricky, right? It's cumbersome and tricky, and if it's for home and you got the computer thereby, not so big a deal, but if you're mobile and you're trying to do this on the fly while you're driving, forget about it. And that's where this guy comes in. You know, he has a really nice package, so you're kind of paying for his interface, right, to bring all these things together and make it very convenient, which is why it's my go-to node. But you can do all of this yourself and save a lot of money. So just saying. So, and I know you like to do that. I know you like to tinker and build things yourself and all that stuff. So having said that, if you're not worried about the kludginess of the interface, that's definitely an option.
I don't need to control when I'm working on a project that are going to be used by other people. Even when I'm doing it just for myself, two of them is not a bad idea. One that's working while I have one to mess with, and when I've got other people in my family, one device that I use is probably worth it while I speak out on my own stuff. So that's why we're
Richmond, the 225 Richmond, and the 075 Romeo and the 500 Bloomfield. So, you know, you pick whichever one works best for you. Whichever one you're hearing the best and working the best, that's the one for you to pick. They're all in network, so it's all the same. So as far as that goes, I'm on the 442.6 Warren machine because that's right here in my backyard. So, and this is the Clear Node, the Clear Zero by Node Ventures. And if you want to go to his website and read up a little bit on it, it's the Clear Zero. And I'd be more than happy to go over you know, the details of it with you sometime. If nothing else, we can go over it at breakfast. But we could certainly go over it here. But right now, I've been trying to get out of here for half an hour now. I got dishes to do and some cleanup and a few other. I got to go close the gate and get the dog outside. I got to deal with that now. I've been really pushing it down the path. After yours, W8FU.
Domestic tourist first. You're not that far away. We'll talk to you later. AD8FK.
AD8FK, KE4ZYQ. Negative contact. AD8FK, KE4ZYQ, clear.
Good afternoon. The call sign here is November 8, Juliet, Romeo, Delta. I'm in South Lyon here, just setting up some new memories, and I wanted to see how I got in here. Sounds like it can.
Yep, you're into it. W8CMM.
Okay, yeah, very good. Appreciate the feedback, and we'll put you in the list here. It sounds pretty good from my QTH in downtown South Lyon, so very good.
KZ8WOG.
KS8EAG outside with the Jake Wolf.
This is AD8JL and you sound great.
Thank you very much.
You can't just get a signal report and not tell us what type of antenna it is. I guess you can. Oh well, I was just curious about your antenna. ADHL.
Ed Fong, Jay's Wolf, proposing with CBC, please. Yes, eight.
Hey, cool, thank you. Jay poles can be bought, but are often built, and I love hearing about people building their antennas. So, you said it's an Ed Fong, though? I've used the Ed Fong. I haven't had as good results with them, but that's because the CBC didn't work out for me. But I'm glad to hear that it's working well for you.
Yeah, this is thinner PVC to 200 PSI stuff. Seems to work out okay. Inside, I was getting like SWR, like free outside 1.7.
Problem was it's like antenna performance. My antenna broke twice. The antenna inside the PVC, it broke at the connector between the window line and the connector. I resoldered it, and then it broke a second time. I said, screw it. I ended up going with the N9TAX instead, something that doesn't go inside the PVC. From a durability standpoint, it has worked. And from all the research that I had seen, I have seen very little difference in performance, practical performance, between the two of them. But I like the look of the Ed Fongs a lot better than some piece of window line flapping on the back of my car. But durability-wise, I have a problem. Have you changed something, but that last transmission was very staticky, like you weren't making it into the repeater well at all. The transmission before that, real solid, so I'm not sure what might be changing. And my problem was I had mounted it on a car, and I think just the vibration, et cetera, it just isn't designed for that application. It probably would have worked just fine had it been used on a house or a garage or something like that, but I was mounting it on my car and had problems.
Yeah, I just said that I wasn't too sure about PVC up on the garage picking up because of the wind, but it might be all right.
There are an awful lot of people that are doing that type of thing and having absolutely no problem with it. So depending on how well you mount it at the base, I don't think the PVC itself is going to be a problem. Like, I don't think it's going to break in anything, you know, any realistic amount of wind or anything like that, depending on how well you mount it at the bottom. My problem, like I said, is the kind of breaking inside the PVC is where I had problems. So what's your application for? What's your intended use for it?
Oh, I'm just going to use it to chat with people, eventually somehow contact my brother in California. But for now, yeah, I just got my technicians, almost the general. I'm just looking to learn.
That's awesome. That's what the hobby's for, so that's really cool. Now you got to bug your brother to get a license, too. And if he's got one, then great. You can. I'm sure there's an EchoLink repeater or an All-Star Link node that you can connect to your brother in California. That's good. Glad to hear it. Well, let's get back to your antenna project. I just, like I said, I like hearing about other people's antennas and what they got going on. I apologize that I forgot your call. I think it's AD8D-something. I'm not sure from there. This is AD8JL.
Yeah, thanks a lot. This is KS8DAG.
KS8, and you said C is in Charlie. My daughter just got her license 2 days ago, and she's KS8 Delta. So, yeah, you did just get it just recently. So, congratulations. It's great to hear you're up.
Thank you. And I hope to see you again. KF8DAG clear.
KF8DAG. My son reminded me that the location we were at, the problem might have been me receiving the repeater. Your antenna might have been fine. Somebody else could maybe give you a signal report and let you know if you were staticky or not. I don't know. In any case, enjoy your travels. I'm just about home, so I will be clear as well. ADHJL.
KRD listening.
Sean, you out there?
Yeah, maybe well, managing.
KF8 CWS. Suffix and your audio was pretty low, so my call is NATVD Tango Victor Echo. Name is Dave.
Hey Dave, this is Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. My name is Ben. I'm coming to you from 14 Stevenson into the Macomb SBI repeater, and I just turned it up from probably 2 to 4 watts. I don't know, this little bell thing.
Well, all right. Yeah, your audio came up a bit. You sound good now. So just hanging out, got done watching the Washington football game. And trying to figure out if I'm going to have a snack before bedtime or what's going to happen.
Well, I'm just getting ready to start my night shift, so I'm thinking I'm going to have a snack before I do all of that. So, snack away, my friend.
Yeah. I got a couple of things in the cupboard, I just haven't made up my mind yet. So you must be running the midnight shift if you're getting ready to go into work, huh?
Yes, sir. All night, all weekend.
Well, that's not very nice. Can I ask what you're doing for a living? Get out of the house all night?
I'm a desk attendant at a hotel. It gives me plenty of time to work on my engineering homework.
Well, there you go. A couple of check-ins and make sure everybody is behaving themselves and you get to do some reading. What kind of engineering are you going into?
Electrical. I'm currently a student at Macomb Community College, and I plan to transfer to Wayne.
Shooting for your associates or bachelor's, what kind of degree are you going after?
I'm on track for my bachelor's now, but I dream of grad school.
Well, there you go. You can find the funding and you're getting good grades or some kind of help, that would be good. Electrical engineering, I guess being into amateur radio is keeps you versatile and things are for electronics. I was a mechanical contractor before I retired and ran a refrigeration business. And occasionally got sidetracked into doing electrical work at some of the accounts I had. I didn't have the electrician's license, but I could do it under my mechanical license as long as it wasn't extravagant. So, it was good training. And I always had an interest in electronics and electrical stuff. My home runs off solar and wind power. I'm off the grid. Have a big battery in the basement. And that's, besides being a certain amount of work, it's a good learning experience and a hobby.
It really is. I'm looking to upgrade my license when I can study, you know, your ham-specific stuff in between the other classes.
Well, there you go. You can at least get your general. I don't know if you got your general or not. The extra class or advanced, I'm not sure which one they call it now, is a little bit more band privileges, but I've talked to some people and they say it's not worth the hassle once you get your general. But there's a certain amount of prestige to having your top-of-the-line amateur radio license.
For the time being, you know how sometimes limitations really, you know, kind of freak growth? I have been learning EW. I've been learning Morse code so that I can, I mean, because right now with my tech, I do have privileges up there if I can get my hands on a radio or build something.
Well, there you go. 10 meters is open. So if you can find yourself a sideband radio, you can go in that direction. Or if you like doing CW, there's CW available on 10 meters also. A few amateurs down there. Once in a while, I'll scan through it and see how busy things are. But there's a couple of beacons and a couple of amateurs. And if you want to do a QSO, you can.
My next radio purchase is going to go towards a packet radio system. I'm wondering if my best bet is a mobile radio that I can run off a power supply or a handheld, but I've seen some that have the TNC built into them. I've tried a couple of different cables with these Baofeng handhelds, and they're just not working.
Well, years ago, I used to run packet. I had a external TNC, a Packrat, they called it, a PK-232, and it still works. It's sitting here. But I haven't done packet for years. And it was tied in with my mobile. I had a 2-meter, 50-watt mobile radio that I made a cable to use for the input. And it worked good. If you get into a station there and you log on and find out what's going on and ask for a description of what's available, you can get pages or things to pick from. But I got out of the digital part of the spectrum. I had lost my vision, so I'm pretty much blind and reading stuff is difficult.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. I'm sorry to hear that, Dave. Losing your vision sounds really tough. I know a couple of people with macular degeneration, and I know it can be hard. What was your call sign again?
Yeah, affirmative. It's November 8th, Tango Victor Echo, and I'm up here in Hemlock. Just west of Saginaw, between Saginaw and Midland.
How does this radio sound now? I've turned it back down to the 2 watts with medium cutting.
No, it sounds good. It's Q5, you got good audio, and it's doing a good job. I bought a Baofeng a while back, a couple of years ago, and I've used it several times, but usually when I go outside, I'm busy taking care of the land or the animals, so having the radio in my pocket, it would probably fall out and I would lose it, and I would have to start over. So I leave it sitting on the bench in the shack, and I occasionally turn it on and use it, and it's interesting.
My philosophy with these radios is that they're not that expensive. So if they were to be lost or destroyed, I'm not going to be, you know, that brokenhearted. Could I recommend maybe a lanyard or something to help you carry it? Because I know the belt clip on it does not work very well at all.
And I think the change that I've made in my radio transmission is that I just started to speak up.
No, that's all it takes sometimes. It's got the lanyard on it. And the model of the Bullfang I bought was a 9R, a UV 9R Plus. I looked at the other ones, and this one had a lighted keypad. And being hard to see things, a lighted keypad made it easier to try to punch stuff in. But I bought the loading cable and the software to use with my laptop. And I'm not sure if I got a bad disk, but the software doesn't want to load into the computer. And doing it by hand is, I got other things to deal with. I got 10 acres of land out here and animals to take care of, and I prefer to make my life easy and not complicated.
Does that UV9R not work with Chirp? Because the Chirp software I've had a lot of success with. I've used it on a lot of radios, even GMRS stuff.
Yeah, I think Chirp is a software. I'd have to dig it out of the drawer to figure it out for sure. And I think the issue is with the driver on my DVD, CD thing on the laptop might need to be updated. The laptops I'm using, I bought 3 of them, and they're probably 15 years old. They're running Windows 10, and I don't know if that's a Windows 11 product or not.
Oh, I can't diagnose that specifically from here, but I can tell you that in Chirp, your 9R Plus, tell the software that it is a model UV82.
Let me see if I got that correct. You said UT82, United Tango, Q Tango.
No, sorry, that's UV82. Umbrella, Victor, Ocho, Dose.
All right, UVO2. I got it written down. Not going to do anything with it today, but I will make a note of it, and I'm going to try seeing what happens the next time. Like I say, I got 4 or 5 2-meter HTs, and I got one that's a 2-meter 440. So, but usually when I go outside, I don't take anything. I don't take a radio, and I don't take my cell phone. It all stays in the house until I get back. I used to take my good knife out with me when I was walking the land and lost a couple of them, so I don't even take a good knife out there, just a Bic lighter.
Dave, I'm sorry again. That was UV82, Umbrella Victor 789-82, UV82.
Uniform Victor number 8, number 2, I think you said.
5x5, buddy.
Well, the problem I was having with the software is it wouldn't even load. I couldn't even get into the DVD drive to get to the program. It wouldn't load at all. But I can play movies and music and do software updates and what have you through the CD-ROM. So I'm not sure why Chirp wasn't working. So I just thought I got a bad disk. It wasn't that much, I think $15 for the software and for the cable. And I was hoping it was going to work because I was thinking it would make my life a lot easier when it came to programming it through the laptop. But It's immaterial whether I got it going or not. Like I say, I got the mobile radio here, and I got an amplifier hooked to it, and a good antenna system, and a TVE.
Chirp is free, as are a lot of the softwares that come with the radios that you buy. I don't know, I wouldn't mess around with an older version of it anyway, because it might not have, you know, like updated radios in it.
Yep, I probably ought to just do the free version. I'm thinking either the disc that it came on was defective, or whoever made the disc and sold it was pulling a fast one. But it won't load into my laptop, and everything else I do does, so I'm thinking I just got a defective disc, and hopefully one that's not tainted with some kind of disturbance.
Yeah, too bad on the bad disc, but if you go to the website, you should be able to get the software that you need for free, and it'll be more updated. They'll have added newer radios.
All right, I will do that. Like I say, I'd like to make programming that Bullfang as easy as possible. And it came with a manual, and I went through it a couple of times, but the way it goes about the menu is a little bit peculiar compared to the other made-in-Japan radios I got.
Have you hooked it up to a spectrum analyzer?
No. The only thing I got in that kind of direction is a external frequency counter that's RF powered. I don't have a spectrum analyzer available, and I don't have a smartphone. I'm old, and all I want is a flip phone. I don't need anything fancy.
Well, there's nothing fancy about this. This is analog FM. You could have done this in the 70s.
Well, when you say spectrum analyzer, I'm thinking back when oscilloscopes were used and you had a signal generator or something to make an input signal and you measured the output to see what was going on with the radio. But I'm not sure the radio functions. I've made contacts and the I can get into it and set a repeater up and offset and PL tones. But going through and downloading the software from my Yaesu to the Bullfang, I need to write it down and re-enter it. So I just haven't put the effort into it. It doesn't matter. Like I say, if I talk, it's on the Yaesu. The whole thing is more for looks, and it was cheap. I think I got the radio and an external battery and the antennas and everything delivered here for $50. And when I did the research and on YouTube and what have you, it was the best model whole thing that they were making. It was more durable than like the 5R was and stuff. So it sits here and collects dust, along with some of the other things I have.
I'm not sure how the Yaesu software works, but in Chirp, once you get it working, once you get the fresh install from their website, they have a feature that will directly import. It'll go to Repeater Book and download all of the like line items of all of the repeaters in your area, and then you can copy them into another window that's, you know, your channel setup that you want to put on your radio.
All right, that's good to know. I do power work on 2 meters. I got a 300-watt amplifier, and I got a vertical up about 70 feet, and I got 26 elements on a horizontal beam I use for drifting towards repeaters, talk down into Ohio and Detroit, and over to the west coast of the state and up north. And I don't use link, and I don't go to any of the repeaters unless I can connect to them directly using the internet. To a radio is not radio. What I mean by that is people that use their phones to talk onto a repeater without using radio power are not amateur radio operators. They're wannabes. I know you're using the radio because you said you were.
What repeater are you coming into right now?
I'm not sure where it's located. The frequency was 442.200, and it's south of me about 30 or 40 miles. And I was talking about my 2-meter setup. I got a 440 setup with a different amplifier and a set of beams, but I'm talking on my 440 vertical at the moment. No power, just the 35 or 40 watts the radio puts out.
I really enjoyed radio so far. The problem is that it seems like there's just not a lot of people into it anymore. When I last year, there were only about 2 guys that were like my age or around it. Everyone else, you know, was a lot older and they were upgrading.
Well, there you go. They're out there, you gotta look. I get up early in the morning about 6:30, have a cup of coffee, and there's a group about 8 or 10 of us on 10 meters on sideband, down at the lower end of the band, and we raid queue for a couple hours, and then everybody goes about their business. But usually in the morning when we're talking, there's European countries that come in and South American countries that want to make contact or have comments. So it's interesting. Every day there's a few people that we don't know and they just show up and have a few comments. Nothing derogatory.
That's cool. I'll have to keep a lookout. Can you, okay, so you're pretty far away. Can you get to WWAGM in Detroit on VHS?
I could on 2 meters, but not on 430 or 440 rather. The my 440 antenna is on a beam with several other antennas, and one of my trees has grown into the side of the 6-meter antenna, and if I turn it, it'll get damaged. So it's pointing straight east, and towards Europe I do work on 6-meter, but 6 meters has been kind of dead. And if it would be, I talk all over the state on 2 meters with the beam. I got a stack pair of Chris-Craft 13 B2s, and I got a Mirage amplifier that kicks up the power quite a bit. So I'm not sure what the ERP is, but the antenna system is supposed to be 15 or 17 dB a gain. So it works good. More power out and better sensitivity.